Hi, and welcome to Governance Bites. I'm Mark Benicevich, and it's my pleasure today to be with Henry Lynch. Henry is the founder and CEO of Faraday, which is a company that arranges boards, advisory boards for other companies. So in that role, Henry has extensive experience as a company director as chairman and also on a board as well, and currently has, a dozen different boards that you're running or on? And has a team of people that he puts into different companies in different stages of their lives. So thank you very much for your time, Henry.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you, Mark.
My first question for you is, in your role in particular, how do you establish a new board in a company?
Well, if it's the first time that they've ever had a board, and that's not unusual for a number of companies, they may have had what you call a statutory board, but a board that's actually going to drive the business forward. What we do at Faraday is we go through a 90-day starter plan with them. At the end of that 90 days, they'll have a strategy, a governance checklist, plan on a page, and then the purpose-built board that they need to solve those problems for that business.
Okay, well, what sort of things do you have on your governance checklist?
Oh, everything from do you have a constitution, are you registered, shareholders agreement, insurances are still up to date, all the way through. There's about 30 or 40 things on there.
Right.
And what that shows to companies is that they feel quite good that somebody's actually looked at these things as an outside view, and then we just knock them off when we fix them.
Right, okay. Now, so when you're coming into these companies that don't have a board of directors, and presumably people from the company will be on this board, what sorts of skills and knowledge should all directors on a board have?
Well, I think, once again, if you've built the board to the strategic plan, you should be having the board you always wanted, not the board that you were told to have. And that's really important, because you're building it for that strategic purpose, and we firmly believe that directors have a use by date. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's 3, 6 or 9 years depending on the nature of the business and the company and the industry they're in. So it varies, and sometimes when we're looking at professional advisory boards, what we do there is we look at what is one of the two top strategic issues that they've got. Say it's going into new markets in Australia or something like that, we will get the advisor to come to that board to fix that problem. So what is really good about that, he or she may be there for 2, 3, 4, 5 meetings, then they leave, and then we look at the next strategic item, fix that, bring in the appropriate person to that to sit on the board and as an advisor, then we'll refresh the strategic plan and then go through the same model again. And because we've done that 90-day starter plan with the company, the chair takes that plan, which is basically like a due diligence on the company, and is able to easily get the appropriate advisor to meet those skills. Because a board is about problem solving and looking into the future for growth opportunities, unless the company is exiting.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm. Right. So you're dialing in the expertise and extending the expertise as you need it based on what the strategy is.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of soft skills that, or even technical skills that you really expect every board member to have, some background knowledge or something?
Well, I think they've got to have, and this sounds probably a little bit strange, but they've got to actually have an empathy for business, and they've got to really understand what business is about and what the owner, managers, or the shareholders are going through. Do they really understand being around the kitchen table sometimes and worrying about paying the wages and everything like that at the smaller end of town? So, you know, that's one of the things. I think a chair is quite an interesting role. I mean, a chair has to have the skills of not an airline pilot, because the airline pilot as the owners and managers of the company, but more a traffic controller guiding the company along, but not actually telling them directly what to do. I know in a true governance here, the board sets the strategic plan and then management follow it through. But good chairs are more traffic controllers with all those skills that are needed to guide that plan in the right direction that it should go, and that the pilot is the management team.
Can you tell me then a little bit about that relationship between the chair and the management team?
Yeah, it should be a mentorship. It should be an understanding of each other's roles, but it should be one of where people really understand that that chair is bringing certain value to the table, but it's also got a role that sometimes is going to say, I don't think we're going down the right path here. It's how those communication skills are that those chairs have. Very much like traffic control, you've got to have good communication skills. You just can't say, look, move the plane that way and we're landing in 10 minutes. You know, it's got to be actually done with a bit of finesse. So the chair's role is that, but it's also how do you manage and work with the board as well, the whole board.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on who's on the board and what skills they bring to it, because they all will bring different skills, otherwise it wouldn't have been a purpose-built board in the first place.
Right, right. Because we're often talking here about the companies that you're dealing with where the management team will often, I guess, be the owners, and they're bringing you and Faraday in as experts to help them through this journey of governance. And so you're almost coming in as consultants that are helping them lead the ship, right?
Yeah, so the only thing I'd say there is that we believe that it's more advising. And one of the things that we really check with, and I'm on governance boards as well as professional advisory boards, is that you've got to be up for the results. So an old traditional governance board can look like the CEO in a boat, and they're all in a line rowing, you know, like the rowing eight.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one person who knows the direction they're going, and that's the CEO. Now, that's because we want to be in low-risk waters and take no risk. But a really effective board, whether they're professional or advisory board or they're a governance board, are all in a raft, all looking the same way, because
mm-hmm.
it's uncertain out there. And you've got to be agile. And so you want all your directors and your management team looking the same way. And if one falls out, hopefully somebody will be there to pick them up.
Indeed, yes. Well, to take a broader step then, what exactly is governance? What is the role of the board of directors relative to the role of management?
The role of a governance board is to actually set direction and strategy for the business, for the company, and they've got fiduciary duties around that which they must uphold.
And the role of management?
Management is to implement that strategy, and obviously they've got certain fiduciary duties as well as an officer of the company, and they are to report back to the board on how they're going against those strategic plan and those items.
So can you tell me a little bit then about the information flows between management and the board? You know, how regular, what type of information?
Well, if it's a lot of boards will meet, you know, 10 to 11 times a year,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you should have monthly board papers and everything like that. However, if there is things that come out of the woodwork, either good or bad, that should be conveyed to the board as soon as possible. Good chairs will meet independently and monthly, separately with the CEO, MD of the company. And that's where that relationship is formed, going back to one of your earlier questions. Professional governance boards shouldn't meet no more than 4 to 6 times a year. And they have a different looking set of agenda than a governance board. And they're more future focused, not saying that a governance board can't, but they don't have the fiduciary duties that they have.
The advisory board doesn't have the fiduciary duties of the governance board. Right, right. You are, of course, involved in not-for-profits as well as for-profit entities. Is there any significant difference in the nature of governance in a not-for-profit entity, or is it fundamentally the same with some differences around the execution of governance?
It should be exactly the same. However, you're right about the execution, because in a lot of cases, well, most cases, they're volunteers. And with all due respect to volunteers that are on boards, sometimes it's just, you know, the luck of the draw who you get there. And because it hasn't been set up in a certain way, you will not get all the skill that you would in a normally paid for business that's running a governance or advisory board.
Right, so a not-for-profit board quite often will be populated by enthusiasts, often enthusiasts who are practitioners or involved in the not-for-profit itself, and so therefore have their minds quite often in the weeds, and it's quite difficult to elevate them up to that governance level, isn't it?
That's right, and the other thing that also happens is that a lot of these volunteer board members end up actually doing a lot of the work. And sometimes it's for the right reasons, but sometimes it can be for reasons that just make sense to them.
Yes, yeah. And certainly in those positions, you know, there are times when you can separate the operational roles or the, you know, even more, not even management roles, but quite often those volunteers involved in you know, creating programs and so forth, as long as they're separating that from their governance role and treating them as two very different roles, you can deal with it, right? But when it starts to blend, you get issues.
Yeah, it gets really difficult, and that's where if they've got a board charter, you need to actually make certain that those rules of engagement are in there. I mean, all boards should have a code of conduct and a charter, which set out some of those. The boards that I work with, it's very plain English. It's this, not this, so that you actually know when you're overstepping the line.
Right.
And for not-for-profits, sometimes that just happens, but it's like having a subcommittee of the board and it's set up, and that's the reason why we're doing it.
Well, can you tell me a little bit more then about what a board charter is, what it contains?
It basically contains the rules of the board. What you can do, can't do, what's the engagement of the two parties, management and the board, what the board will do and not do, if there's any queries or anything like that, who's the first port of call, the chair, how expenses are paid, all of those things. I mean, you don't want a 50-page charter, but you know, it's, a good one is about 5 or 10 pages at most.
So it's kind of like a combination with between a job description for the board of directors and its policies and processes.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Cool. Well, you know, here in New Zealand, we're in the bottom end of the world, and we're a little island. Do we do our own thing around governance, or is governance kind of an international discipline that's fairly standard?
Oh, it's pretty standard. I mean, there's certain laws in other countries, obviously, that have different rules and regulations around what a board should do or not do. The thing is that overall it's about looking after the best interests of the shareholders, the company, the staff, and the executing the strategy and passing those key things onto the management team to execute. Holistically it's pretty similar.
Yes, yeah. Right. Mm. There is just the challenge of making sure that particularly in a volunteer organisation, everybody who's on the board understands their role and can keep themselves on the business of governance and not into the detail of management during the meetings.
And that's really the role of the chair, to make sure that happens. Mm-hmm. The chair needs to absolutely call out when some board members are going down that rabbit hole of operation and not the bigger picture of governance.
Well, who would set the agenda for a board meeting? Is that done by the chair, or is it done by the CEO, or the two in conjunction?
Generally two in conjunction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what we do at Faraday is that every board meeting we have two deep dive topics, and they're from the strategic plan. Unless it's a very complicated area, we don't really want to have a board paper for it. Because if you've written the board paper, you've already made your mind up.
Right.
And this is where you use all the nous of around that table to absolutely try and help the management team with that strategic issue.
So it's kind of like free-flowing time for a couple of problems. It's
a
workshop type scenario inside the board meeting.
Right. And the other thing is about looking forward, and it's strategic, is we have the minutes at the end of the meeting.
Right.
And do that in governance boards as well. And it's showing that the minutes were circulated within 48 hours with the action points, and that everyone agrees within, say, 48 hours those minutes. If they don't, they come back. And then what that does is, having it at the end of the meeting, it shows that we're looking forward all the time. Not having it at the beginning talking about what happened maybe a month ago that no one can remember.
Yeah, right.
And then at the end of the meeting, it's always the action points from this meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, so everyone leaves knowing what they have to do.
Right, so you'll have some standing agenda items of things that you cover each meeting. You've got a couple of open topic discussions.
Yep.
Then you're working through the minutes of the previous meeting so that you can reflect on what should have been done and make sure that that's been done.
Yep.
And then note your action points to happen before the next meeting.
Yep.
Yeah, right. What sort of standing items do you have in every board meeting?
Depending on the size of the company, the organisation, It's you know, agenda is pretty normal, you know, welcome, apologies, you know, if it's
conflicts,
register. Yeah, all that sort of good stuff. We will have action points there.
Yes.
Then we'll have the MD, CEO's report, CFO's report. It might be a general manager's report, and then we'll get into those key topics, general business, and then the minutes and action points from the last minute.
Right, and I take it the tracking towards strategy will be in the CEO's report and, and those sorts of things, right?
And then depending on the organisation, only every 3 or 6 months, you should have a review of your strategy, which we do on a one page, which is your three horizons.
Yes.
Where do you want to be in those? And plan on a page. So it's actually on the work plan to look at these items all the time. And strategically, the CEO MD is reporting to Horizon 1, 2 and 3, of which everyone around that table is an expert on.
Yep. Yes.
And there's numbers at the bottom of those horizons.
Yep. And your horizons being different time frames, a short term, a medium term and a long term.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So who attends the board meetings? You've got the board of directors, the CEO and any of the management. So they attend the whole board meeting or do you have some board only time as well? How do you do that?
We have board only time if it's an owner operated company. We will have board only time with him or her. So they can just let the entire board know about any of their concerns or anything like that.
Yes.
How they think the team's going, how do they think the business is going, everything like that. In front, they'll say a certain amount of that inside the board meeting, but we've got their perspective before we go in to that. And then, of course, boards can always have their own time without management being there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, thank you very much for your time. That's been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate it. I'll look forward to seeing you all next episode.
Thank you, Mike.